live from the legendary Circuit Broadcasting System Studios, discussing topics going on in the Hasbro community and beyond. It is now time for
Stage, Style, and Study with your host, Michael Marks.
Good evening, Pine Belt. Happy lunch hour to you, and welcome to another edition of Stage, Style, and Study. In association with Mississippi's first African-American-owned radio station, Stage, Style, and Study airs live on Fridays at noon on WJMG 92.1 and WGDQ 93.1. The show is also streamed at 92.1WJMG.com and 93.1WGDQ.com. Playback is on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. And today, we welcome Stage, Style, and Study guest, Judge Deborah Gambrell. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Well, listen, you are a living legacy. And, we were talking before we went on the air about heroes in our midst. And you are certainly one of them, historically, professionally, ethnically, academically. The community looks up to you. I knew of you before I knew you. So, and that's a compliment to you, but we have lost a generation of people who don't know our own heroes. And so one of the purposes of this show is to reacquaint today's generation with the heroes that are already in our midst. So I want to start, and this is my ignorance. We talked a little bit about the judge system, and I call you Judge Gambrell, but I have no idea what you do.
Okay.
Tell me what you do.
A lot of people don't, Mr. Marks. I work in the state court system. The highest court in our state is the Mississippi Supreme Court, followed by the Court of Appeals, followed by our state courts, circuit courts, which handle criminal matters, and chancery courts, which handle landline disputes, matters of equity, family law, divorce, child custody, and things of that nature. So basically, I'm referred to, and most people know of me, as a family court judge, a judge who has to intervene and deal in divorce situations, child support, landline disputes. And before doing this, I served as a justice court judge for 30 years. That is, I call it the court of the people. It's where a judge is selected from a geographical area and basically serves the needs of the people in that area in disputes of up to $3,500 and in misdemeanors. So I came from the misdemeanor level up to the family court.
Okay. All right. So so the title has shifted, but this is not your first rodeo.
Oh, no. So I've been at this 41.75.
Oh, my goodness. What a legacy. And listen, you mentioned the Mississippi Supreme Court. I hearken back to days because my frame of reference for the Mississippi Supreme Court was as a teacher and a coach for the mock trial competition.
That's correct. Of course,
both your older daughters, Hallie Q and Andy, anchored the Hattiesburg High School mock trial program. And we learned an awful lot about the law. Why is it so important that the average person know about the law?
You must know the law if you're going to function in a society that is ruled by the law. I tried to teach my children that, and thank goodness you and other educators that were there when my daughters came along, helped them understand that in order to live in this world that we live in, you've got to know what the laws are. You've got to comply with the laws. You can protest, you can do what you need to do, but you've got to know how to comply with the law. And I'll tell you a funny story. During the Black Lives Matters movement, my daughters were here and they had a demonstration downtown. And I said, I've got to go. I said, if you told me that 50 years I'd be back out here,
yes,
50 years after being out here before, I just would not believe it. But I have to go in support. And the light bulb went off in my head. And I said, I did this 50 years ago to be sure that you didn't have to be doing it
That's
again.
Right.
And it was amazing for the kids to hear me say, well, Mom, you really had to do this? Yes.
Yeah.
This is not just happening. This has happened, and I thought we had kind of worked our way into complying with the law, using the court system to redress wrongs and to make everything equal, but here we are again. Deja vu.
That's right. That's right. All over again. And you know, we did the show Freedom Summer at Hattiesburg High School 1 year, and we learned about voting rights and had civil rights leaders come in, and you don't know what you don't know. I've always seen those pictures. It didn't dawn on me that that was downtown Hattiesburg, that we were the anchor nationally for much of that civil rights work. And you're right, if you don't know your rights, you don't know what to champion. You don't know what to ask for. And you don't know what's rightfully yours.
That is correct. You don't know where you are. And talking about the Freedom Summer, I had the opportunity to take an order of expungement to Chicago, Illinois, to present it to the pastor of a Presbyterian church there who had been incarcerated here. The mayor of the city did it for me, and I flew to make a speech, and they also asked me to do that. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing to be a part of that.
And I admire the energy and the passion, and I'm so glad that this generation is becoming active and engaged. They don't know where to begin.
That's correct.
And so those models are part of our history, and we only have to crack a book.
That's correct.
Or look at a picture to see what we need to do. There is no doubt that this has been a challenging year. The pandemic has caused undue uncomfort and disruptions in all of our lives, and we've had to learn to do everything by Zoom and socially distance. Do you think the pandemic has eroded inclusiveness in our society, or just brought it to the surface?
You know, I think about that. I don't know if it has eroded it. I honestly think it has brought it to the surface. It's always been there. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 and all of the marching basically said things are above board now. We're going to fix them. But they were literally put under like a cover. And the pandemic, in my personal opinion, just basically helped bring it back to light. It's there. It's always been there. The divisiveness.
Mm-hmm.
If ever I thought that I would hear people arguing about taking a vaccination,
yeah.
When as a child they lined me up
in
the hall, sent me down the hall.
Rubella, polio, measles, chicken pox.
Yeah, eat the
and you couldn't graduate without it.
That's correct. Couldn't graduate. Had to have it. Yeah. There was no argument. But now that has turned into a matter of rights. That's why you got to know the laws.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When your rights infringe on my rights, then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we children have to know that.
That's right. That old paradigm about you can't go into a crowded movie theater and yell fire. Yeah, even though it is your rights have limits.
That is correct.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that you have said a mouthful in that. So what do you think we can do as citizens to build true inclusiveness?
We as citizens, and I've been through and done this with, okay, I am your friend of a different ethnic background. Mm-hmm. Let us go to lunch together, and that'll help make things better. I think it takes more than that.
Yeah.
Just don't use me to showcase that you have the ability to accept me.
I have friends who are black.
Yeah, I have friends who are black. I have friends. Listen to me when I talk. Be aware of your insensitivities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When I tell you that you can do something, and I dealt with that just last week. Well, why would the person who needs to come to you, your senior, come to me? It's privilege.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
he feels he has the privilege to override me and go to someone who looks more like him.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to learn to talk to each other.
Because everybody has a comfort level.
Everybody does. And explain how we feel. And be honest about it. We got to do that. We got to stop sugarcoating things.
And that is the hardest thing, or at least one of the hardest lessons for me to learn lately, as I watch how our nation's laws are taking pot shots, everything from voting rights to everything else. It's silence is no longer an option.
It is not
that
an option.
That does no one any
and
good.
And we, I think, I know personally, I say sometimes I'm at fault for bringing children to a certain level that you create a false sense of equality.
Mm-hmm.
and that they're equal without letting them face some hard knocks and fall and have things slap them in the face. And we as parents try to do that. We want to protect them because we went through it. We don't want them to go through it.
We want to spare them.
But we got to go back and say, this is how it is. Yeah.
You know, I grew up at a time sort of in between your historical presence. I was that next generation. Martin Luther King was not in my textbook at high school. He was never mentioned. I can remember as a first or second grader, I remember my dad and the rest of the deacons going into the woods at night with their shotguns to guard the church. I thought that's what good deacons did. Mm-hmm. I didn't know we were in the middle of a civil rights battle, that people were bombing black churches in the South. You are absolutely right. We were spared so much.
They tried their... The first time I saw a member of the KKK, I was going to a Tri-Hawaii meeting at 33rd High School in Gulfport, and my dad was driving, and these men came out of this church, and I said, Daddy, that's a... He said, no, they just have umbrellas on because it's raining. They just said, I'm sitting there going, no, I don't think so. You and Mama talked about it. It was after the three civil rights workers' death in Philadelphia. And I was traumatized by it. But yet he was constantly trying to convince me.
Absolutely.
And shield and protect me that that's not what I saw. I didn't see it.
Listen, little milestone, but important to black people. My dad was the first county extension agent in the state of Mississippi. And he got the job that was supposed to go to somebody white. But he had the seniority, he had the experience, and they named him. They burned a cross on our yard. I didn't know what that meant. I thought it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Looked like Christmas decorations, you know? So children now have been spared even more because at least then you and I saw what was going
That's
on.
Right.
And we could ask the pertinent questions. But kids now are so far removed. And they're having to experience all of this in isolation with no connectivity. So I want to ask you this. And how, given everything that we've talked about, how do you raise children of color to tackle inequities in today's society?
We, as parents... And not only as parents, as pseudo parents or people in the community in our churches, have to sit down with children and explain to them, you are somebody. You are equal. You are just as good as anybody else. You got to tell them that. I used to tell, and I tell people, my daughters, I used to always tell them, you are beautiful. Like, wake up every morning and look in the mirror and say, I am somebody. Of course, Halliku took it to the extreme. She couldn't take a pass a mirror without saying she was somebody.
Right.
But I wanted to build that self-esteem so that they understood when confronted by racism, inequities because of gender, you know that you are somebody and you have a right to be where you are and be at the table.
And it takes a strong constitution for some of the things that they throw at you.
It's correct. But they have got to do it. You will cry. You will come back. You will have to be nurtured at home. But it's got to start in our homes and our churches. That's where you were molded.
Absolutely.
That's where I was molded.
Absolutely. And thank goodness for church and Sunday school and vacation Bible school and song festival, because they filled in where the schools fell short.
That's correct.
I had a good friend of mine, Loretta Sanchez, who was a congresswoman or state legislature out in California. And she had a dinner one night, and she was sitting at my table, and she told a story about her mother, who, after putting all her kids through college, she went back and got her college degree because she always wanted to be a teacher. And so she tells a great story that her mother said, now from 8 to 3... I teach everything they want me to tell these kids and do. You know, we're talking about the standardized tests and I'll check the boxes. She said, then from 3 to 5, I have class to teach them everything they need to know to get by in this world. And I think sometimes in our rush for standardized testing, and that, I'm not doubting accountability. You got to do your job, you know, but we have missed the mark in what is a marketable skill, and we have ruined our children.
Oh, we have.
We have spoiled them.
My 29-year-olds, and I know she's probably listening, and it's okay, but and my law clerk, my new law clerk that's a recent graduate, they don't know how to write checks.
Mm-mm.
So she got a checkbook and came in and said, Judge, now can you show me how to write this? I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to do it with my daughters, but I don't know what you all missed in the educational process, but writing a check, knowing how to write a thank you note or to show gratitude in the flesh is important.
Yes.
And communicating.
Yes.
I said, this texting,
you
don't text me from the next room.
Right.
Walk over,
right.
Look me in the face,
right. Right.
And talk to me.
And texting is not wrong, but it is a casual kind of conversation reserved for your friends.
That's correct.
You ought to have several sets of language.
That is correct.
You know, we all talk about code switch, and we grew up knowing how to do that. So, but yes, texting and social media are good crutches. And so if that's the only skills you have, you're going to miss the mark in the business world. I think that's the thing.
Not only in the business world, in life in general. When I do divorce cases sometimes and they're contentious, and I have to look at all the texts back and forth, I go, did y'all ever, the child fell on the monkey bars. Did anybody ever think to just pick up the phone and say, the child is hurt, I'm headed to Forest General, to the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I have to let him know. So I go, people.
Logic leap, yeah.
We can't nurture and raise this child if we can't communicate.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
You've got to learn to communicate. So to answer the question, we got to take back those values that we were given and try to instill them in our children. And I talk about my older daughters. I talk about all of them. Mm-hmm. Alec, he says, Mama, I looked in the mirror one day, and I was fussing at my daughters, and it was just like my son. Oh, God, I turned into Mama. I'm in there just, she said, I couldn't believe it. I was just fussing it just straight out of your mouth. I said, was that good or bad?
That's okay.
Well, to Hallie, it was bad, but to me, it was good, because some of what you said undoubtedly sunk
in. She internalized it.
Yeah, she internalized And we got to do that.
That's right. That's right. And call it up when you need it.
That's correct.
Yeah, you don't have to be Deborah Gambrell 24/7.
That's correct.
But when you need to be, you need to step up. You do an awful lot of work in our community. And I know that I have served with you on the board of the Hattiesburg Public School District Foundation, which continues to champion the mission of Hattiesburg Public Schools. So important to help the superintendent and his vision. They sponsor the Hall of Fame, and we just had the class of 2021 announced in a virtual presentation. Have we lost? And you've always done community service. And so I bring it up because I see more and more people clinging to themselves.
That's
and
correct.
Not seeing the value of volunteering.
We live in a very selfish society. I was talking to my law clerk this morning. She was asking questions about how do you plan to run for office? How do you get involved? I said, first of all, you got to drop your anchor where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of do like, I think it was Booker T. Washington that said, you got to drop your bucket where you are. You've got to learn to be immersed in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know your community. You've got to give of your time and energies because you are an integral part of the community. And you might touch somebody that will one day reach back and grab somebody else.
Yeah.
You've got to do it. I grew up being involved in NAACP, in all kinds of organizations, trying to... there was an old saying my daddy used to say, if you don't get along with this group, go and form your own so long as you're doing something good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I try to stay involved with the Hattiesburg School District. You have to.
Absolutely.
You got to go back in. I always said when I finish this job, I want to go back and be a teacher because I want to do it. In my sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, I'm involved with the mentoring program that we have for young kids.
Mm-hmm.
Doing other programmatic things. You got to do it. If
Absolutely.
It takes time and energy, and you're away from your family
a lot. It's time well spent.
But
it's an investment.
You've got to do it so that you can set an example for somebody to come behind you and want to do it. Because our children are our greatest resources.
Absolutely.
They are.
Absolutely.
If we don't nurture these children and prepare them, then when I'm gone, I'm just gone.
And I always remember and always said that I told many a student, you know, some were destined for greatness, some were destined, you know?
Yeah.
But I always tell each of them, I'm expecting big things out of you.
Yeah.
You know, you have to.
Yeah.
You mentioned Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority. The Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, is a... is an AKA.
A member of my illustrious sorority.
Yes, and you and my sister-in-law, and I have not shut up all year.
No,
she is so proud.
I'm so proud, and we've all had the big vote t-shirts. We're so proud because Vice President Harris is a symbol to young girls of color to say, and I looked at that night after they won and the mothers were there with the girls on their shoulders. She's symbolic of you can do whatever you put your mind to do.
Yeah, yeah.
She did it. She represents HBCUs, an excellent example of showing that historically black institutions can succeed and can produce high quality people. She is an example of saying service to all mankind, which of course you know is our motto, but we are so very, very proud, and all of the Panhellenic organizations are proud because we all own
it's
a little piece of
That's
her.
Right.
It's a family,
That's right.
and we all own it. But she is a symbol of greatness. Just I don't know how else to say.
Yeah, it is a source of pride.
Yeah, it is a great source of pride.
And she has done it the way you described. She didn't just run for vice president or just run for Senate.
That's correct.
Look at her track record.
That's correct.
Look at the barriers she broke.
That's correct.
To even get to this point.
And I'm sure there were trials and tribulations along the way.
And there still are.
And will continue to be.
Yes, yes.
But it shows with fortitude, with preparation, with study, forming collegial relationships with others. You can be whatever it is that you want to be. And we are so proud.
We share an alma mater. We both went to the University of Southern Mississippi. We both were in the marching band, the Pride of Mississippi. I was tenor sax, allegedly. Piano was really my mode, but I wanted to get into games free. But you were one of two African-American women who were the first two African-American girls to be in the Dixie Darlings.
And I guess you want to know why we did that. And I'll tell you why. Southern Miss saw fit to recruit African-American football players. Mm-hmm. And one football player said, I don't understand how we're out there playing and we don't have any black majorettes. That's what this football player, that was Lil Willie Heidelberg, who has now passed away. Who gave John Ball, whatever, up at Ole Miss the heart attack when he ran that ball back. But anyway, so we said, okay, we'll go and try out. We'll go together. Mm-hmm. We're not going to send one person out there
that could
to be
accident.
Slaughtered.
Right.
So we're going to both, and we did it. I mean, there were looks of, you know.
How dare you?
How dare you? But we did it because we wanted to prove that black girls from Dixie could be darlings, too. We're from Dixie. Don't like using that connotation.
Right.
But we did it to prove a point.
Yeah.
And to make the football players have some pride about them.
Yeah.
Because they were
the
ones that really talked us into
doing it. Had a utilitarian purpose.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why we did it, enjoyed it. I just did my 51st year's march with the older ladies.
The reunion?
This past homecoming. And it was great. I don't know if I'm doing it again, but it was great.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I still, you won't believe this, Mr. Marks, but I still felt that same treatment of, you're not even supposed to be here.
Absolutely.
You know, isolation. But, you know, I'm bigger than that. I'll go and start a conversation with anybody. But
and you've risen above.
Yeah, I've risen above it. Yeah. But I could see those same sentiments floating around 51 years later.
It is amazing how things like that, though, become such a social platform. As if, okay, so you're a Dixie Darling and you've made it in the world. You didn't go to the Dixie Darlings looking for confidence and organization skills.
No, sir.
That was not your purpose.
It was not a social thing to me. My parents didn't send me to Southern Miss to be a member of the Dixie Darlings, as some of my colleagues who tried out and became Dixie Darlings said, oh, my parents said, this is my joy.
I have achieved.
I've achieved. And I'm going, well, no, I'm here to achieve a different thing. And I'll handle it, get it done, and move on.
That's right. That's right. It was an experience.
Yep.
Dang, but it was an experience. All right. Well, this has been exciting. Let me give Pine Belt just a few updates. As we have talked about, we are still in the middle of COVID-19 and its variations. I want to share with you that this is our shot. We'll be in Purvis on November the 13th as part of the Purvis Street Festival. Connects Care, in connection with This Is Our Shot, will be given vaccines, particularly boosters, to anybody that needs them. And I believe that Councilwoman Deborah Delgado on November the 13th will be having another vaccination site down in the Dapp Street area. So whatever you do, we know the best way to protect families and friends is to get vaccinated. And you know, I listened, people around the world want the vaccinations. We got three of them. We'll take them. I just don't get it. I don't pretend to understand why you would sacrifice your own life, either to make a political statement or, and, you know, I hear black people say, well, you know, I remember the Tuskegee Institute. Okay, Dr. Kidd is a black woman. She invented
that
the Moderna.
That's correct.
Okay?
That's correct. That's
so, we have an inside source validating this. It's time to move on. Yeah, not to minimize anything that happened at Tuskegee, because that was real.
But I'm proud to say this now. I've been involved in a judicial training for 2 days, and Dr. Thomas Dobbs gave us stats yesterday. 77% of African Americans.
Yes, we're doing well.
We're doing very well.
Yeah, we're leading the ticket.
And I want to see us continue to lead the ticket.
Absolutely.
And get this done.
Absolutely. You know, I just woke up one day and I thought, why are you waiting for somebody to give you permission to do what you know you need to do? You know, so just go to it. So this has been a wonderful conversation with Judge Deborah Gambrell, who, as I say, is one of the real heroes in our community. Just want to wish everybody again a happy lunch hour. And this has been another edition of Stage, Style, and Study in association with Mississippi's first African-American-owned radio station. And we air live every Friday at noon on WJMG 92.1 and WGDQ 93.1. And we're streamed on 92.1WJMG.com and 93.1WGDQ.com. Playback is on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. So there you go, Pine Belt. Have a good weekend. This has been Stage, Style, and Study.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Stage, Style, and Study with Michael Marks. We're live every Friday at 12 p.m. on WJMG 92.1 and WGDQ 93.1. You can also stream the show at 921WJMG.com and 931WGDQ.com. And may God bless you.
Stage, Style, and Study. With your host, Michael Marks.